So hello everyone, this is the Would Somebody Testify podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Wood. Adjust mic and hope that doesn't change quality too much, otherwise I'll have to overdub. Anyway, so today I have with me Brother Jason Chamberlain from the Raising City Church. He's here to talk about when he had seizures several years ago and how that changed his life. In fact, in a positive way, which you wouldn't think. So, here he is, Brother Jason.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you on.
Especially
the last minute nature of it.
Congratulations, starting the podcast, getting that off the ground. It's cool.
So when exactly was it? I know several years ago, but I have long ago forgotten what year was this.
I'm not really good with dates, but this is one I won't forget. November 3rd, 2007 is when I had my first seizure. Yeah, that was a date that changed my life.
So, I remember it was in the morning, but I don't remember the details. What was going on that morning?
Yeah, so it was about approximately 7:30 in the morning, and I was up. A little bit of background. I worked for UPS at the time, and I was trying to, you know, how we do. From time to time, we have these notions to get in better shape than others. And so, I was running 9 to 12 miles a week trying to get in shape, you know. And so a friend of mine would come over early before work, and we would run. And then on Saturday, not so early. So it was a Saturday, and he was coming over to run at, I don't know, 8 or 8:30. So at 7:30 in the morning, I was in the living room, and my daughter Holly, who was 8 at the time, was sitting across the living room. She'd got up early. And my son, Luke, and my wife, Amy, were still asleep on the Saturday. And I don't remember anything after a certain point, but I guess that Holly ran into the bedroom and told my wife, "Dad's something wrong with Dad, and there's blood coming out of his mouth," something to that effect. The next thing I remember was my brother saying, "Hey, bro, you need to get up on the stretcher." That's the first thing I remember after having the what's called a grand mal seizure. So that's not, you're not just out of it; you're actually seizing up. So all your muscles tighten up, and like I bit my tongue. That's where the blood was coming from. It was a grand mal seizure, and so they put me up on the stretcher. Well, actually, I got up on the stretcher. That's why my brother Mike was telling me, we need to get you up on the stretcher. Pretty big guy, even though I was running. So got up there. You know, that was the first time I'd ever had anything of that nature. Always been pretty healthy. And so they put me in the ambulance and took me to St. Agnes Medical Center in Fresno, California, and did, I don't know, I guess you would call it intensive testing. So a lot of different tests. And so I don't know what all those are. I don't remember. It was kind of a foggy time. After you've had a seizure like that, you're really tired and then you're sore. And then whatever wounds you've got from that, such as a bitten tongue, those start to hurt, you know, so I don't remember a lot of it. In retrospect, I'd say probably was just kind of going through the motions a little bit, trying to keep my wife, you know, from being too scared, whatever. But anyway, we did all those tests, or they did all those tests on me. And I like to say they tested, you know, I guess heart and whatever else they test in your body, but they test mostly on your brain when you have a seizure. So I did all those tests, ran all these tests on my head, and they didn't find anything. That's what I like to say. So, but anyway, that's something to be thankful for. I'm not sure what all parts of the story to tell here, and I have a complete testimony written with notes, and I was having trouble finding that. I know I've got it somewhere, but so I'll just do the best I can from my memory. So I did all the tests at the hospital and didn't find anything bad. So there was no, didn't seem to be any problems with my, you know, the inside of my head, no tumors or anything, no cysts or anything like that. So they let me go. I went back home. Being a UPS driver, seizures and driving commercial vehicles don't go together real well. So they did pull my license. They said it would be for 6 months. I'd have to be seizure free for 6 months. And then they could reissue the license and I could go. And my DOT card, which is Department of Transportation, you have to have a physical and all those things. And I could get those back and go back to work. So that period of time was interesting because I was off work, couldn't work, you know, driving a truck. But that's the time when my yard became a priority, and also had more time to spend reading my Bible and praying. And that was something that I hadn't made as much time for as I should have previously. And so that was a weird good start in a way. Like you said, it seems like things could be negative, but in a way it's positive. So a couple of things just before I go on to the next part of the story. During that time was my daughter Holly, who is 8. That was the hardest part for me because she seemed to have trouble trusting me, not you know, like I was doing something bad, but trusting me as in something else going to happen to Dad. And that was probably the hardest thing for me to get over. Luke wasn't in there and he was younger, so he didn't seem to understand as much. But Holly didn't really want to sit in my lap much or get hugs, because you never know, right? I mean, yeah. If that happened to Dad and his mouth's bleeding, who knows what'll happen next. So that was tough for me as a dad. But also my wife was scared, I like to do things around the house. So if there was something that needed to be done on the roof, it was like, so she was worried. And rightly so, you know. Yeah, power tools, those kinds of things. So being worried about that was, you know, I can understand completely. I tried to, I don't know, and I think probably in a way I was maybe naive about what could happen or the long-term possibilities. And then in a way, I wonder if it wasn't God like shielding me from the worry, from the stress of the whole thing. So I tried to enjoy the time, and you know, if people would ask me things about having seizures, I would sort of make light of it and just try to have fun, you know, I didn't want to attract attention over it. So, but anyway, God helped us through that. Moving into kind of the next portion of it, after 6 months, I went seizure free, no indications of anything. Everything from doctors and any kind of scans and everything turned out negative, so we were good. So I got my license and DOT card back. Oddly enough, at UPS, you schedule your vacation ahead of time. And so it's scheduled at the beginning of the year by seniority. And so I had scheduled at that time I had 6 weeks of vacation or something, a lot of vacation. And so I'd scheduled some. Well, I can't remember the date. I don't have it written in front of me, but it was around May 26, somewhere a little before that. And it was a Friday. So I got my DOT card and license on a Thursday, went back to work on a Friday, had vacation scheduled for Monday. It's a rough life, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Very one day rough. Of work. And the interesting part, looking back, is that day of work, I was a floater, so I ran different routes with a UPS truck. And the route for that one day was in the mountains of California, Sierra Nevada Mountains, which are rugged. You know, you've been there. There's a lot of drop-offs. And that particular day, I went to a place called Cedar Grove. So Cedar Grove winds through the Kings Canyon.
Okay.
And on that road at points, it's a very narrow road, basically carved into a cliff, and going off the edge of that is 1,000 feet or more. I really don't know exactly, but if you've ever been there, you can look down and you can look up, and it's amazing. Beautiful, but not a great place to have a seizure while you're driving. So that's the route I drove, and keep that in mind when you think about how God helped. So then we went on vacation. My wife's from Georgia, and we went, and my brother-in-law and I had scheduled a run for, what's that holiday? Memorial Day? A Memorial Day 5K run or something we were going to do, we did together. And so we did that, had a good time. I guess had a good time, if you can call running a good time. But we did that, and it went well. The air's so clean back there compared to our valley air, so it seemed easy. And then I believe it was the next day or the day after, I went out for an early morning run while I was at my father and mother-in-law's, and ran down. They live back off the road, so I ran up the dirt road to the main road, ran down to the end of the road where there was a stop sign, and turned around, was coming back, and then was going to run back down the road, probably, I don't know, mile and a half, maybe, at the most. So, as I ran down to the end of the road to the stop sign, turned around, come back, and ran a little bit, I just remember, the last thing I remember was, I'm feeling sleepy, and apparently went down right at the edge of the road and kind of rolled into a, I don't know what you call it, a storm ditch or whatever they call those, that had been bush hogged. And so there were, I don't know, some kind of plant that has, you know, fairly big pieces of wood. And they cut those with a bush hog, so those pieces of wood stuck out.
Okay.
So that another grand mal seizure, I rolled in that that wood, and it including my face, right, and everywhere else. And so as I was having the seizure, those things just poked holes all in my face and my skin. So plus chewing my tongue, so that was a pretty rough shape. But anyway, somebody drove by and noticed me down in the ditch. Thank the Lord there was no water, right? So it was a dry day. There was no water in that ditch. And they told the neighbor who came down to be with me. And the first thing I remember, different than when my brother was there saying, bro, get up on the stretcher. The first thing I remember is I was very scared of this older man. I being a big young guy, right? Very scared of this older man. And I was trying to convince him to let me climb the fence to go to my father-in-law's house. Well, the fence that I was trying to climb was the wrong direction. And I would have ended up who knows where. But he was a very kind older gentleman. Kept me there somehow until the ambulance arrived. And by the time the ambulance arrived, I had enough of my faculties to go, no, thank you. I don't need an ambulance ride. It costs money, because I had had that before. So anyway, I got a ride from my mother-in-law, father-in-law. They took me over there, or maybe my mother-in-law, I don't remember. My father-in-law was at work. And they took me to the local hospital there in Athens, Georgia. And they ran all the tests again. Nothing. And this was very, very strange. So I was sore. And you think, right now you think I have a face made for audio, not video? You should have seen me then. I was cut up. I remember we went out for somebody's birthday right after that to a Mexican restaurant there in Georgia. And I was beat to shreds. It was bad. But again, Lord help me. I wasn't stressed about it. I was, you know, kind of just making light of the situation. Like, you know, look at me, you know, I'm in rough shape, whatever. So anyway, we went home. I did, I can't remember what they call it, ambulatory testing. I think that's what they call it, where you, they put all these wires on your head, and they, okay, they have this little pack that you carry around. So I bought a hoodie for just for that, like the first zip up hoodie I ever had. So I could actually go in Walmart. If I put that hoodie on and crank it down, you couldn't see all those wires on my head. And so again, I was off work and they did that testing and they did find a little bit of irregularities and brain impulses or some kind of electrical impulses in my brain, which my wife could have probably already told them there's some irregularities in there. So, but, did that. And kind of the next part was when reality set in. So after that happened, I visited the doctor. I don't remember which doctor. I kind of remember where it was, but and the doctor explained to me at that point, after that second seizure, that they, of course, they were pulling my license and a DOT card again, and I wouldn't be able to get that DOT card back for 10 years. So if your livelihood is driving a UPS truck and that's how you're making money for your family, okay, and then you're told that you can't do that for 10 years, that should be over the top, making you feel like I have, you know, at a point where you're just, you don't even have anything to say, where it just floors you, devastates you. And I wasn't, and I don't know why. And I'm just going to give God the credit on that and say that at that point, somehow, if he imparted faith or whatever that was, I wasn't worried about that. And I should have been. When I say not worried, I wouldn't say I wasn't worried at all, but I wasn't extremely worried. It didn't stress me out.
Yeah.
And there's something about that that's 10 years, right?
Yeah.
What else can I do? I can drive a truck, right? Other than that, you know, I've done a little carpentry, but, you know, I'm definitely not a journeyman, so I'm not going to make much money anywhere else. That was a pretty good job. So what I did is I went to UPS and I said, hey, you know, this is what's happening. You know, could I do something else besides drive a truck? You know, because there are other jobs that are full-time. So it wasn't long. They called me in for a meeting with UPS, with the union, which their Teamsters union. And that was not just the local UPS guy. It was a big company man from somewhere, Atlanta probably, and then a big Teamsters rep from Chicago or wherever they're from. And I was in there with these really important people and a lot of people in there. And in that meeting, they laid down to me that I was out of a job.
Oh.
So not only can you not drive for 10 years, but there's no, we don't have a place to put you. And you're out of a job.
This was what?
That was
mid 2008.
Probably June. Yeah.
I don't remember when the 2008.
June 2008-ish.
The 2008 recession hit.
Yeah. Right.
So was it, do you that's remember when the before recession or after?
Hit. Probably right about that time.
Okay.
And so, if you keep that in mind, somewhere in there is where the recession hit. There I am without a job. Okay, of course they're still paying me for 6 months of disability because I have this. But when that's up, I'm done. I've nothing. That's it. You lost your job at UPS. So again, I either didn't really understand the severity of that for my family, or again, God was just helping me out, keeping me stable. So for some reason, this isn't me. I've never, ever filed a lawsuit, never had anything to do with a lawyer or anything like that. But I wrote, not through a lawyer, this was me personally, I wrote a letter citing some ADA, American Disabilities Act, I don't remember, code or something. I don't remember why I did it or how I got the idea, But anyway, I did. And I sent one to the union, and I sent one to UPS. And this was probably in September, okay. October of 2008. In the meantime, I had at some point, I don't remember when that was, but at some point, probably about the same time, August, it kind of hit me like, okay, what are you going to do now? Right? If you can't do this, what are you going to do? And so, I would have to say, is the Lord leading me? Okay. And when I say that, I don't know, maybe just from my experience, some of you hear God talking directly to you, and man, that would be awesome. But I can't say that I heard that. What I will say, looking back, is that I put my best foot forward, and God helped. That's what we did. We just tried to make good decisions and prayed about it. Didn't hear directly from God, I didn't feel like, but I just did something. And so in this case, that's what I did. It was too late to be accepted as a student at Fresno State University, which is where I was going to go back, and I always kind of wanted to teach. And so I thought that was probably the thing to do. And so I did. And so unfortunately, I found out it was too late to submit my application for enrollment or whatever that was. And somebody, I don't know how I found out, but somebody said, well, let's see what you can do. Let's try it. So I tried, and they accepted me for that fall 2008.
In October?
Whew. No, it would have been in August. August. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was right up to time to start school. I remember that. It was very close, and it probably started beginning of September, if I remember right. But it was right up close to the time there. And they accepted me, and I was able to get some classes I needed, which I had been to school way back when I came out of high school. I had been to Fresno State, taken a few classes in engineering, but really nothing in the teaching field. But I had some general education classes under my belt a little bit. So anyway, I was accepted. I got classes and started, and was just enjoying. I mean, I was enjoying it. I didn't have to work, right? So I could focus all my attention on the classes, and so I was kind of enjoying them. And I remember, again, it's that date. I was. This may be hard to tell. I was sitting in class, believe it or not, it was November 3rd, of course, 2008. And I got a phone call. And of course, it was in class, and I'm not going to answer my phone in class. In fact, I generally wouldn't have any interaction in class. I thought it was rude. But when I looked at it, it said, I guess I shouldn't say his name, but I really want to. Eric, I won't say the last name, which was my former boss at UPS. I said it on the screen. I was like, whoa, that's odd. So I stood up, walked out of class, which is rude, but it's not something I always did. And I answered the phone, and he said, Jason, how you doing? I'm like, it's pretty good, man. I'm just, going back to school. He's like, I'd like to offer you a job. And I was like, what? He's a part-time supervisor who I had worked with years before. And so he offered me my job back, working part-time in the evening at UPS. And not only that, there was a provision that somebody found, I don't know, I've talked to people afterwards, they didn't know anything about it. I'm sure it was there, but God put it there for me. That's what I felt like. There was a provision in something at UPS that said, under the circumstances I was under, that they that if you were working part-time and you came from full-time, that whatever you earned part-time, the rest of that up to your full-time pay would be made up by that program. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah. That's, I don't know who negotiated that into the contract. Dang, let me...
Anyway, we, that was, you know, we were running a little bit low on money because, you know, disability doesn't pay all of what the others pay, but we were still fine. But this made a big, big difference. So that was, to me, that was just amazing. And it ended up having something to do with that letter that I had written that it kind of got them started down this path, and that somebody actually went to work for me. I didn't even know it. So, most likely it was God going to work for me, but through some of those other people. And when Eric offered me the job back, I of course jumped at the chance. here's another great thing. It was an afternoon/evening job, so I could retain my classes at Fresno State and then go work part-time and get paid as a full-timer.
You just happened to have only morning classes then. Just so happened.
Right, up until early afternoon. So it was a long day, and had lots, you know how it is, lots of homework, and the days just went by. Looking back, I don't know how I did that much stuff, as many things as I did all at once, and I was able to hold together I'm not bragging at all here. I want you to understand this. Previously when I was in school, my grade point average wasn't very good. But from the time I went back as an adult, much more focused, and I'm sure God helped me in many situations, I had a 4.0. So I had all A's going. So somehow God was able to help me to prioritize and do those things and keep that grade point average up, which I'll explain in a second, helped later. So very thankful for that. I'm not the smartest guy. Excuse me. I'm not the smartest guy, but he had definitely helped me through that time. So there I was, making that full-time wage at the minimum, at the lowest end of the scale, of course, but still thankful for that. But also paying tuition plus all the other obligations I had, you know, so money was going fast. And there were some things just we had to pay for. And so there were a couple of really neat instances. I remember one. And, oh, by the way, I'm sorry. Too much to remember without notes. That program was a 2-year program. So while I went back to school, it paid that difference between part and full time for 2 years. And so I was able to graduate, finish everything up just one semester beyond that, if I remember right. One semester beyond that. And so God took care of us that whole time through that. I do remember one time right toward the very end, after that program had run out, we were running really low on money, and we got to a point where like, okay, how are we going to pay this bill or these bills? And I went to, or probably my wife did, went to the mailbox and came back and had an envelope from Fresno State, maybe alumni, I don't remember. And I didn't know what it was. I opened it up and it was a very considerable sized scholarship check. I don't remember applying for it. To this day, I don't know exactly why I got it, but it was enough to keep us through that time. And I know it was just a gift from God. And so when we opened that up, when I opened that up, we just stood there and, I mean, cried. I mean, what do you do? You're thankful. You can't believe it. After those times where you kind of pushed in a corner, God comes through again. And if I had notes, I could tell many, many, many more things. That's just one of the other ones. Okay, so where are we at here?
You were about the point of graduating.
Okay, yeah. So graduated. in 2010 in the spring, and then had the credential program in the summer. So I was able to, again, that was a situation where they only accepted people that had certain qualifications. And so looking back at God helping me with a good grade point average during those 2 years, I was able to get in that intense program in the summer and do all of my student teaching during that summertime. I don't think it was, it might have been in the spring also, but I think I'm gonna have to back up. My memory's failing me here. I may have graduated. Sorry, Stephen, my memory's not good.
Oh, neither is mine. That's one reason I made this thing, is so we could remember these memories.
Yeah. So I want to back up just a little bit. So in the spring of 2009, I believe it was, it may have been 2010. I think it was 2009. In the spring of 2009, I was sat down with my counselor at Fresno State and figured out what I needed to graduate. So it looked to graduate by the end of the next school year, by the end of spring 2010. And so she said, you're going to need two classes in the summer. And then if we can get those in spring 2010, you're going to need more units than you're allowed to take. So she said, it's not very likely, but let's see what we can do. So she said, let's work on the summer first. And so she found a class I needed two classes. Fresno State didn't offer any of the ones I needed. Fortunately, Fresno City College, a community college there in Fresno, did offer two that I needed, and only two.
Do you mean the two two classes you needed for the summer, or just
yes.
two? Or okay, was okay because I was wondering if you were meaning there's two of each course.
No, there were I needed what of all the classes that I still needed to take. Fresno City College only offered two of those in the summer of 2009.
Okay.
And actually really only one of them, but she worked and figured out that we could substitute a speech class for one of the other classes that I needed. So that was the second one. So I got in the speech class, the history class that I needed, that they offered, I wasn't even close to getting in. They were full and the waiting list was maxed out. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm out of luck. You know, I'll just take that one. And we'll just do the best we can. So here's another instance. I mean, God did amazing things during this time. This is another one. So just so happened in the spring of 2009, before that summer, I had a history class actually at Fresno State. So I was taking a history class. The professor was, The professor was a younger lady. When I say, I mean, she wasn't old. She's probably in her 30s. I enjoyed her class. Of course I was, you know, older and focused. So, I was enjoying the class, doing pretty well. And I'd pipe up in class and say things and ask questions, you know, like older people do. They're not afraid. We don't care what people think of us. So anyway, I noticed when I had looked at that class at Fresno City with the big wait list that was maxed out, that it had the professor had the same last name as her. And so it's like, So I went up after class, the class at Fresno State. One day I went up after class and I can't remember her name, but I said, are you teaching a class at Fresno City in the summer? She's like, I sure am. Are you in it? I'm like, no, it's full and the waiting list is full. She's like, oh, just come and see me. Just come to class the first day and see me. I'll put you right in. We need more good students. How do you explain that other than God is amazing? That was out of nowhere. And so that it happened just like she said it. I went to class. There were, the class was full. There were people people standing all around the walls. And she started calling people on the waiting list. And I was either the first or second name she called. called me up, even though my name wasn't on it. Put me right in. Took the class and made it through the summer in those two classes. So fast forwarding just a little bit. Now we did what we needed to do in the summer. The problem is, I don't have enough room to take the units that I need for the spring of 2010 to graduate. And so I talked to my counselor again. She's like, all right, you got those summer classes and doing good in these fall classes. She's like, the problem is you need 22 units to graduate. And I could only take 18. And here's why. When I was in college as a youngster, my very last semester when I was working for UPS and feeling rich and ready to get married, rather than finishing the semester out, I just quit. I didn't know about dropping classes, right, to keep them from being F's. So all of those classes that I was in that last semester were F's. So my grade point average was too low to take more than 18 units. So she said, there is a way, and I can't remember what you call it. I'll just call it a request. There's some official, you know, college word. I can't think of the English word for it right now. That you had to put in with the board of whatever deans or something. She could put in this request for me. And she said, I haven't heard of it working, but it doesn't hurt to try. Okay. Sounds like the same story again. Sometimes looking back, when I had written the notes and I typed those up, some of the things I had written seemed too good to be true, right? It almost seems a little bit like a fairy tale.
Or a badly written story.
Or a really badly written story. It's too much. It's overwhelming. There's too many amazing things. But all I can say, I don't know why God chose me for this. Okay, I'm nothing. But for some reason, he chose to help us through this time with some really amazing things. And here's another, I don't know, I just have to call it a miracle. So we put in that request, explain why I was going to back to work and why I need to graduate that semester and why my grade point average was as low as it was. And explaining that without sounding like I'm bragging, that I had got all straight A's since I went back to college and I was really trying hard, right? So I put all those positive things in there to try to convince them. She still wasn't very positive about it, but she submitted it for me. And it took a while because things at college take a while. They came back and said, yes, we'll let you take 22 units your last semester. She was floored. She was super excited for me. I was able to get all those classes, graduate that right as that program ran out at UPS, and was able to get that. Now in the summer, I still had to take my teaching credential courses, but this was an intense program, still expensive. And when you're working part-time, right now I no longer have a full-time salary. I'm working part-time. And in fact, that's pushing it because this program is intense. There's a lot of work and a lot of time needed.
Couldn't get a full-time job, even if you wanted to.
Right. So we had to take out loans. Student loans for that program, and it was a lot of money to us. We just didn't have the money. We kind of reached our limit, and we just didn't have any more. Probably about that time is when that scholarship came in, somewhere in there. I don't have the date, but it's somewhere in there. So, I did that during that summer course. I found out there's a program called Apple, APLE. I can't remember what it stands for, but the L stands for loan. And the E, I don't know what it stands for, but maybe excuse. I'm not sure. Okay. All I remember is that first, because there was a teacher shortage, they were paying people to go through the credential program and they would pay back their student loans.
Had it just started?
It didn't run very long. I don't remember. I just knew it ran for a couple years, maybe. Not liking to take handouts, but needing a handout, we definitely signed up for that and got it again. Just gave that to us. So I'm very thankful for that program during that period of time. Thank you, taxpayers. I'm sure that's what happened. And so that, you know, kept that student loan load off of us. In fact, I didn't even have to make the payments while I was in school. They were making the payments. So anyway, when I finished the credential program, and my times are off. I can't remember if it was just a one summer thing or if it was a summer in a year. But whatever it was, I do remember that when I finally got that credential in hand, I had to find a job. You mentioned the 2008 recession. Okay? At the time when I applied for, when I finished my credential and started applying for, teaching positions, there were hundreds of applicants for each position.
Ooh.
So there was no teacher shortage, and there was, you know, leftovers of a recession or still a recession. So I remember just starting to look, and I was looking for something local. I want to stay home if possible. And I found one that was in Easton, which is a town maybe 10 miles, maybe 10, 12 miles from, maybe not even that, not very far, at an elementary school. And I also found an opening at Carruthers Elementary School, which is right there in our hometown, Carruthers. So the first interview for the one in Easton came up first.
Okay.
And then the Carruthers interview came up the next day. So I went to the Easton interview. Turns out that the principal was a childhood friend, a friend of his mom was best friends with my mom in high school. And so we had been around, I'd been around him my whole life. And we had a nice interview and I left. And they called me on my way home, excuse me, and asked if I could come back, I think the next day, and give a demo, teaching demo lesson. So they wanted me to come back and give a demo lesson. So I came back the next day for a demo lesson. And the day after that, I had scheduled my interview for Carruthers Elementary. So I did the demo lesson in front of them that day. And as I was driving home, Craig called and said, yeah, we'd like to offer you this job. I was like, how many applicants? A dumb old guy, right? A truck driver? How does that happen? So God, right there, it was just laid it in my lap. That many applicants, however many there were, hundreds, I know that. I don't remember how many hundreds, but I know there were hundreds. And it was that easy, right?
Mm.
Now was that, you know, somebody I knew? Sure, right?
Just somebody I knew. Someone you knew.
He knew our family's background, right? But God worked that out. He offered me the job. And one of the cheesiest moments of my life, I said, Craig, I hate to do this. This feels really cheesy, but can I ask you to wait? I have an interview tomorrow with Carruthers Elementary, and it is home. And I went to school, high school in Carruthers. He was like, oh yeah, no problem. He said, once you'd be happy wherever you are. So he held on to that for me. And I went the next day to the elementary school, had an interview with the principal and probably vice principal and superintendent. And we talked for a while. And then probably the second cheesiest moment of my life, at the end of the interview, they asked if I had anything else to say. I said, well, I hate to say this, but I've already been offered a job, and so I kind of need a decision as quickly as possible from you. And their decision was, we want to hire you. And so I had to call Craig back and say, I'm sorry, but I think this is probably the right way to go. And that, again, that was God just leading us, me and my family, through all of these steps, just not audibly, but us just putting our best foot forward and trusting. And then maybe some, you know, there were some times where I was naive, maybe not my wife, or, you know, it's maybe not her, but definitely me, naive, and God just kind of helping me do what it was that needed to be done. And so hired me, again, hundreds of applicants.
And you topped both sets.
No, I would have to say those were God given.
Well, yeah.
I hear where you're coming from. Somehow I ended up number one in both of those. Older, right? Not a young teacher. I was in my mid-30s. I was probably 35 at this time.
And fresh out of college.
There's
probably some experienced people among those hundreds.
That's right. Experienced people or young people that have energy, you know. I'm sure a lot of other people had a lot of better qualities than I did. So that's why I'd have to say that was God's doings. God's doings. I don't want to take too much of your time, Brother Stephen, but maybe if I was going to kind of summarize maybe a couple things. One is God worked all things together for our good. If I had time, or if I wanted to get too personal, I could explain the difference in my walk with God before I had the seizures and after. And he was definitely working all things together for our good. He kept us through all of it. We never missed a meal. We took one loan, student loan, but we never had to ask for money. Not that, you know, sometimes you have to. I was so thankful that I haven't had a seizure since then, since 2008, May 26th or whatever that was. God has kept us. And then probably I know you probably have something you want to say, but I brought something I wanted to read that kind of summarized one of the ways that God worked. When I got into the teaching profession, we go to different types of meetings. And we went to a meeting at University of San Francisco field office or something. There was a lot of us in that room. And they asked us to write about a moment or a period of time where your life was changed. And I think when God does something for us, it's for us to give a testimony. I was very nervous about coming on here today with you. You know how I am.
Not out front.
I'm not a talker, although you guys have heard me talk a lot today, probably. I do feel when that happens, it's given to us for testimony to show what God has done. And so you guys know education has a tendency to be very liberal. In a setting where there are lots of different educators from different backgrounds, no doubt lots of liberal, who knows what, was in that crowd that day. They asked us to write those, and my name was selected to share my writing. And
this was happened to be selected.
Excuse me. This was a quick write, and I had written this really, really quickly. And my mom wanted to know what it was. I just happened to have it. I had saved it on my computer, and so she wanted me to print it out. So I printed it out for her, and she cried. She said, you've got to keep that. And so I don't think it's my finest writing, but it's what came from my heart that day. And I read aloud in front of all those educators. So I'm going to read that real quick if you have time.
Oh, go for it.
Okay, so this is what I wrote. November 3rd, 2007 was the day that most changed my life. That was the topic, sorry. The day that most changed your life. November 3rd, 2007 was the day that most changed my life. Looking forward to a Saturday morning run with a buddy, I was talking with my 8-year-old daughter and reading the newspaper in the living room about 7:30 in the morning. Next thing I remember is my brother saying, "Hey, bro, they need to get you up on the stretcher." I did, and was transported by ambulance to St. Agnes Medical Center for intensive testing. during the 30 or so minutes of my life that I missed, my daughter had ran into our bedroom to tell my wife, "Something's wrong with Dad and his mouth is bleeding." I'd experienced my first of two grand mal seizures. The second was on May 26, 2008. Although I didn't recognize clearly at the time, my career as a UPS driver was over. What I did realize quickly was that my relationship with my wife and children, especially my daughter, had changed dramatically. No longer was I the rock-solid father or husband figure that I had been. Building those relationships back to pre-seizure comfort levels was a long, difficult process. Through this, though, three extremely important things came about. The first was that I went back to college, got my degree and teaching credential in 3 years, there's a timeline, and got a job teaching at Carruthers Elementary, my hometown. I love my job to the nth degree more than I ever liked my job at UPS, even though I make much less money. The other two things were strengthened relationships with my family and with my God. November 3rd was the worst and best day of my life. That's what I read to them. Seems inconsequential reading it today. I mean, there's not much to it. But the difference is something in the room that day that I would have to say is the Holy Ghost was in the room that day. When I got done reading that, for some reason, there was a hush and there were tears. I don't understand why. Like, I just read it without a problem, right? But something about that story, and it had to be the part about the change that God made in my heart, my relationship with Him and with my children. That was a pretty awesome time, just watching the effect that a story, including God's help, the effect that it had on those people that day. So that was a cool instance in which God took something, like you said, God took something that didn't seem like it was positive, but worked it out for the good.
I think you've covered just about everything I've thought of. Yeah, you've covered pretty much everything. And I can vouch for the fact that you are quite a teacher. You taught the teenage Sunday school class almost the entire time I was in there. You had a knack for it.
Well, I don't know about that. I enjoy talking with young people and kids about whatever. But it is really fun teaching Sunday school class. I enjoyed having you in there, but I also enjoy teaching it these days when you're in the young adult class. So, yeah, I appreciate that. I feel it's a calling. Sometimes I lose sight of that teaching public high school every day. But looking back at what God did, from time to time, I step back and go, God called me to do this, do the right thing. So thankfully he did. Changed our lives for the good.
All right, then. I guess that is everything. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, welcome. And thank you all for listening. A quick post-interview note. I later looked up the dates of the 2008 recession, and I got an approximate timeline of the end of 2007 into 2009. So that puts the timeline of his seizures right at the beginning of the recession for the first one and towards the middle of recession for the second one. Thank you again for listening.